together for me at the beginning of the week because I wanted to have him greet everyone and do a little song for everyone for Easter. And so he said, okay. And so I called him about, or I texted him. That's the newfangled way of calling people. About, 8 o'clock our time, 10 o'clock his time. And he said, not quite done yet, Dad. Okay. So about 1 o'clock last night, I woke up and it was, and he said, okay, it's done. So around 2 o'clock in the morning, he did that. So I think he, instead of waking the whole house up, he just did it real quietly. And so I thought it was great. So it was good to hear from him. Good to see he's still on the planet. It's amazing how technology can put us so close together all the time, you know. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing to me, all the stuff that we're able to do. The other day I sat around and talked to Jeremiah, the older brother who's out there with him. I sat and talked with him on Skyping. Have you ever done that? That was the first time I really ever Skyped. I thought, man, this is weird. This is George Jetson stuff, you know? And so, it was on my phone too. I mean, I was on my phone and I was sitting there on my phone and he's on his phone and we're like standing there talking to each other, you know? I'm just like, wow, this is weird stuff. And I know that's probably old news to some of you, but it was new to me. So I thought it was pretty cool. Anyways, it's amazing. You can be a couple thousand miles away and still be right next to each other talking and carrying on and doing all that stuff. So that's exciting stuff. So anyways, today's message, I'm going to start in John chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. The title of my message is Telling Hands. And so let me just dive right into it. John 20, verses 24 and 25. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Sometimes I want to go, na, 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 na. But when I read that, do you ever want to do that when you read that? Sometimes in scripture, I kind of want to do stuff. Sometimes it's really kind of stupid, but it's like, na, 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 na. We've seen the Lord. I can just see these disciples telling the one disciple that wasn't there when Jesus came through after his resurrection, "Hey, we saw him. You didn't." So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, hands tell a great story. Hands tell a story in our lives. They tell us when we've been in the water too long. They tell us when we've worked too hard. Hands do. I mean, it's always, have you ever wondered why your hands prune up in the water? Always, okay, I've been in here too long. It's time to get out of the water. Now, for me, if I work just even slightly, my hands will tell me I've worked too hard because I have more of the soft, smooth hands. At least these days I do. The softer, smooth hands. Some hands are callous. Some are red and work-worn hands. My father-in-law had work-worn hands. He was a carpenter and he worked very hard. And so my father-in-law had very work. His hands were very rough and hard at work. My father, my dad, he was a CPA, so his hands were not so rough, and so he had softer hands. But hands are blistered we have scarred knuckles from busting them on stuff. You know, one of the reasons I hate to work on cars is because they put everything too close together. And so when you go to, you know, break the nut off, you know, and open and get something off, you always smash your knuckles on something else. And then you get this big old knuckle scar. And that's why I don't like working on cars. I'd rather pay somebody else to do that. But they're jagged. There are jagged and broken nails. They are there's nails bitten down to the quick. If I was to go around here, some of you probably have nails bitten down to the quick, and then some of you probably have long, polished French manicured nails, all pretty and everything. Oh, some of you are all hiding your nails. Don't come look, Pastor. Our hands are scarred. Our hands speak volumes. With each wrinkle and each scar and every bump brings to mind a different narrative, a different story, and moments in our lives. When we look, I mean, I can still look on the back of my hand and see the bite marks from the dog that bit me when I was like 5 or 6 years old. The black poodle. I'll never forget this stupid black poodle. Was always the poodles. He was in our neighborhood, and I was just a little kid, and he was running around, and I thought I didn't know who he belonged to, so I went up to try to greet the dog as any little kid would do, and he bit me on the hand. He just bit me and then took off running. I was literally like hours away, just a few short hours away from rabies shots because they couldn't find the dog. So they had to search all over to find this stupid dog, and they had police looking all over the place and everything to find this dog that was running around our neighborhood, to try and find this dog so that they could test it to see if it had rabies so that they wouldn't have to give me shots. I remember that, and the scar is right here from that. You know, you just have scars and memories from different things in your life, and your hands tell a story. Our hands are important. How important are our hands? We use them. We use our hands so much, and we don't even think about it. We have been using them since we were in our mother's womb, clawing to get out, pushing with our hands. You probably know that well. It's like, okay, stop hitting me. Get out of here. Amen. Yeah. When we were little, we used them to cling to our mothers. And to cling to our parents, we hung on to them with our hands. When we used them to roll over for the very first time, we used our hands to roll over. We used them to pull ourselves up to our feet for the very first time. Our hands, even today, our hands help us get to our feet. On each hand are fingers that assist us in many activities. We use them to measure. We use for width, to count, to keep ourselves organized. We even might tie a string to one of them to remind us of something. We use our fingers for all these things. We use our hands for gestures, nonverbal gestures, such as hello, goodbye, and you're number one. Some of us have gotten that on the way to work. You're number one. Oh, thank you. We use them to touch someone to get their attention. We use them in expressions of kindness and love. We use our hands to be relevant to God in praise and worship. We might show appreciation by clapping. Even this morning, we were clapping with our hands to the Lord as we sang the songs. Hands can build, or they can destroy. They compliment or insult. They heal or they hurt or even hurt. Hands are used for so many things. Music, sports, writing, artistry, construction. They're used for so many things that we cherish to do. I mean, this morning, most of what you heard this morning was brought to you by hands. Guitars were played, the bass was played, the piano was played, the drums were played, hands. When you came in this morning and I gave you a bulletin and greeted you with a handshake, hands. We use them for all kinds of things, and we truly take our hands for granted. We don't even know. I have a good friend that was born with no hands. Some of you have met him. He's been here before. Jeff Steinberg, he's been here before, called the Little Giant, hardly any legs, no hands. But hands we take for granted. I often remember I know this is kind of a silly story, but whenever I think about hands, I always think about the Dick Van Dyke Show. Does anybody remember the Dick Van Dyke Show? Yeah, I see some of us are old enough to remember that. There's one episode where Rob Petrie, Dick Van Dyke, is dreaming. And he's having to type, and he has no thumbs. And through this whole skit, he just has no thumbs. And everything he does is completely messed up because he has no... So he sits down to type. And for, you see, some of you guys, you don't really get it. Because today, you can't type without your thumbs at all. You know, it's totally a thumb kind of thing. But see, back in the day, in our day, we had these things called keyboards, which some of you might still use on your computers. But there was a thing at the bottom called a space bar. And when we were taught to type, I don't know how they do it today, maybe they still do it, but your thumb always hits the space bar. When you type, you just that's how you do the space bar. So none of the words when he was typing, they just ran together in one sentence, no space bar, because he didn't have thumbs. And so anytime he picked things up, thumbs. Our hands, we take them for such granted. We don't ever think about our hands. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, Thomas said. It is unfair to call Thomas Doubting Thomas. You know, we always call him Doubting Thomas. But it's kind of unfair to call him that. Thomas did put a stipulation on God and said, I won't believe unless... And this is not always a good idea. However, God does seem to meet people where they are. You know, it's not a good idea to put a stipulation on God. God, I'll believe in you if you do this, or if you do that, I'll believe in you. That's not a good idea to do that. Although it does seem like God meets us in the most unfamiliar places. He meets us in the weirdest places. Met me in jail. Met Thomas, came and saw Thomas even after he saw the 11. Or after, I guess it would have been 10. After he saw the 10, he came and saw Thomas and made a special effort to see Thomas. But I find it interesting, though, that God does come after us in different places, but Thomas does put the stipulation on him, hey, if I don't see it, then I'm not going to believe it. If I can't see what's going on, if I don't see this with my own eyes, I'm just not going to believe the rest of you guys because you say you saw Jesus. I want to see him for myself. So what did Thomas really and truly want? What was he really looking for? And what was it that he wanted? He wanted what I believe everybody must want. And everybody wants. Thomas wanted a personal contact with Jesus. He wanted personal contact. He wanted contact, which means together, which means the tack part of it means touching. So together, touching, a connection. He wanted a connection with God. He wanted to actually be able to touch the hand of God, to feel the hand of God, to sense a touch from God and know that God is real. And I think all of us want that. I think in our lives, we all, at some point or another, say, God, I just need a fresh touch from you. Or God, I just need to know you're with me. I just need to know you're here. I don't want to, I don't want to miss this. I feel so alone right now. God, won't you touch me? Won't you come to me? Won't you make contact with me? Everyone else had seen Jesus. Thomas just wanted to see him too. I mean, can you imagine if spending, 3 years of ministry with Jesus every day, day in and out, following Jesus all the way, and then on the day he comes back after his death, everybody gets to see him but you? He's like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so I slept in this morning. I missed it? How come it was my turn to go down and get the water? And I missed Jesus. I don't know why Thomas missed him, but for some reason the 10 were together and he was not with them. And then the first thing they do when they see him is, hey, Thomas, guess what? Guess what happened to us on the way? You know, and sometimes I think we do that to people too. It's like, you know, they miss something. You know, we go and we see something. Hey, guess what I did and you didn't. Sometimes we're just like that. And Thomas was like, well, wait a minute. I want to see Jesus too. And I don't know how much it was a matter of Thomas doubting the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. I think Thomas wanted just what everybody else had seen. Listen, if he's still here, I want to see him. I don't want to miss a chance to see my Savior. I've spent so much time with him, and we were friends. We knew each other, and I don't want to miss this chance to see him now. Tell me that I didn't miss my one moment to see Jesus. I don't know if it was doubting, although we say Thomas doubted, and we call him Doubting Thomas. Oh, Thomas needed to see to believe. Because if Jesus came to this room right now, wouldn't you all want to see him? I don't think we want to miss when he comes back again to see us again. I don't think any of us want to miss that. Christ himself believed in a touch. He touched the blind. He touched the leper. He touched the sick, the lame, the hearts of so many. He didn't reject the touch of a woman with the issue of blood who reached out to touch him. He didn't reject that. He encouraged it. And oftentimes we forget that the woman with the issue of blood broke a lot of religious laws to get to Jesus. And Jesus was not afraid of her touch. He wasn't afraid of the touch of a leper, to touch the leper. He wasn't afraid to touch the blind man. Jesus made contact with people. He touched people. It seems like even in our own lives that these touches come in times of great loss or emotion. And sometimes in victory and in triumph, we sense a touch and a feel from God. You know, there are times when we are desperate for a touch from God in an emotional state or in a place of sadness, when we lose a loved one or something happens and some tragedy happens in our life and we cry out to God that we need a touch from him, and he comes and he shows up and we sense his presence with us and a touch and a fresh touch from him. And that happens so often to us. And even in moments of victory, when things are going great and we have some measure of victory and a measure of some kind of move of God in our lives and we're excited, we sense his touch and him being with us right then. Amen? We sense a touch from God. Psalms 31 verse 8 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. God is with us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Amen? Jesus is with us. Jesus is alive today. His touch is available. He is here with us even today, at this very moment, if you want a touch from him. We all want the touch, the point of contact with God and our Savior. We know this, for sure about Jesus' hands. They were open on Calvary. Pierced as he hung on the cross and paid for our sins. We know that the third day, that 3 days later, when he rose from the dead, his glorified body still bore the marks of the crucifixion. You know, this last Friday, we watched the movie The Passion on Good Friday. We watch it every year on Good Friday at noon. So if you're not doing anything next year at noon on Good Friday, you can come by and we'll watch the movie again. Art and I have talked about it a couple times, even afterwards. We talked about it Saturday, just about how amazing it is, how many times we can watch the movie and see something that we didn't see before. See something new, see something fresh, see something that I've never seen before. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie, but in the movie, in the very beginning, there's this whole garden scene. You know, the Garden of Gethsemane scene. It's right out of the scripture, but there's this whole thing that's going on, and there's this conversation that goes on between Satan and Jesus. This conversation that goes on. And I've always found it to be kind of weird and eerie and not really grasping the whole intent of it. Now, this may just be me, or maybe you thought it was weird too, but as I was watching it this time, for some reason, it slowed down for me. It just slowed down, and I began to see each moment in the movie much more clear. And then, and to me, I know it's Hollywood and all those things, but to me, there just seemed in the moment of the conversation and everything, and then this snake crawls out of Satan, you know, and slithers over to Jesus, you know, and Jesus is laying on the thing and all distraught and, you know, looks like he's in great distress at that point. And then there comes a moment, and this is what I noticed this time, is there becomes a moment of almost like clarity in his life. Or at this moment, there comes this moment of clarity where he recognizes the call of God on his life and what God has determined for him to do in his life. It's almost like the decision was final. He comes to this moment of clarity, and he stands up and he stomps his heel, which is scriptural, stomps his heel on the head of the serpent, on the head of the snake. And with a great deal of authority. And I thought to myself, wow, what a clear defining moment of clarity where Jesus made the decision that, okay, here we go. No longer was he saying, let this cup pass from me, but there was a moment of clarity where Jesus said, okay, absolutely, I'm dying for him. Here we go. Let's do it. Let's get her done. And he stood up with almost a clearness in his eyes and a clarity in his heart that this is what he was going to do. And he was going to make sure that it was finished. And I thought, wow, what a powerful moment, at least for me. And then the movie went on, you know, and we got to see all the brutal crucifixion. Now, I don't recommend this for little kids if you don't want to see this, because it is probably one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in my life. But they say, and here's the part that I can recognize. I recognized it after the first time that I saw it, is I still recognized Jesus when it was over. When this beating in Hollywood took place, I still recognized who Jesus was after it was over. And the scripture clearly says that he was unrecognizable. So to me, it means that it wasn't bad enough. That Hollywood stopped short of the actual fullness of the beating. You watch that. We take communion during it. We take it with it. And communion, the Lord's Supper is right during the process of the crucifixion. It cuts away back to a memory where it's the Lord's table, and Jesus breaks the bread and says, eat this bread, and as often as you do it in remembrance of me, and then drink this cup. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is the cup of the new covenant. He says all that, and while he's saying all that, we're doing it with the movie. It's powerful. And you're just sitting there emotionally, completely involved in the moment. And it's a great, great moment that we spend doing that. But at the very end of the movie, the stone rolls away and Jesus rises up, and it basically ends with us looking through the nailed, scarred hands of Jesus at the very end of the movie. And so we know that even his glorified body is marked still with the crucifixion. In John chapter 20, verse 27 and 28, then Jesus came to meet with Thomas. Because after his request, I won't believe unless I see Jesus comes to Thomas and says, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And then reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus tells Thomas, don't be an unbeliever. Be a believer. And Thomas answers to him and said to him, my Lord and my God. Those marks testified to Thomas. The marks in Jesus' hands testified to Thomas, the risen Savior's true identity. He recognized Jesus and he knew he was the risen Lord because of the nailed scars in his hands. Jesus' hands reveal the story of his love for them and for us. We today see in the hands of Jesus his love for us. When Moses came down from the mountain, his face was like the sun, the Bible says. He had been with God. His disciples, as rough and rude and as these fishermen were, even the priests saw something in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Christ is a refining process. Jesus' hands bear the scars. Even today, Jesus extends his nail-scarred hands towards us. They assure us of his presence when we doubt. They lift us up when we stumble and fall. His hands reach out to comfort us when we mourn and to rejoice with us when we celebrate. Jesus' hands are with us. The touch of Jesus can be visibly seen on his followers. You know, I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form, other than the form of Jesus. But what always amazes me is when other people recognize the touch of God on my life. Other people see Jesus in me. I was reminded the other day, and oh, man, I hope I can tell this without, let me get it together here. Let me think of some really funny thing, and then I won't cry. A friend of mine, who's now pastoring in Nevada, was not going to church. He grew up in the church. His dad was a pastor, and then he got away from the ministry. Got away from the word. Hadn't even been to church for years and years and years. And he had a backhoe next to his house, and it was right down the street from where the church was in Reno, where I pastored. And so I said to him, so I went down there and I asked him if I could borrow his backhoe because I needed to dig a ditch so I could get some water to drain off my new parking lot that I just put in. And he said sure. And he said, sure, no problem. I'd be happy to help you out. I said, I pastor a little church right up there, and I was wondering if you would maybe help me out with your backhoe. I saw it sitting here. I was wondering if you maybe come over and dig a little trench so I can get some water to get off my parking lot. And he goes, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And I said, just one more thing, though. You're going to have to show me how to use the tractor. Otherwise, I won't know what to do. And he goes, oh, no, I'll come down and do it. I said, okay. So he came down and started pushing some dirt around and messing around with stuff. And then he said, hey, listen, I don't know how to do this. I'm not good enough, to do this. So let me call a friend of mine and I'll have him come over here and we'll get it done. Well, he came and built two, what they're called, like reverse drains, where he dug these trenches and then they dug these huge wells down into the ground. And instead of a well, it ran the other way so it would get down into the groundwater, put rocks in it and pipes and all this stuff so the water would drain off our parking. I mean, it must have cost a couple $1,000 at least to get it done. And the guy did it. And so the guy came up to me and said, hey, would it be all right? if we had breakfast together. And I said, sure, no problem. So we went and had a breakfast on a Saturday morning. And he reminded me of this because I didn't remember. He said, the first question I asked you when we sat down is, I said, are you the real deal? And I said, and I just said, the real deal. And he goes, yeah, are you a real Christian? And I said, well, I'm not perfect, but yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm the real deal. I'm not perfect, but I love Jesus. And he made a transformation in my life, and he touched me and he changed me. And he said, okay. We had breakfast for the next year on Saturdays. Almost every Saturday we had breakfast together. Before I went and did Little League with my kids and stuff, I got up early in the morning and had breakfast with them every Saturday. He eventually came to my church and turned his life back over to the Lord. And now he's pastoring a church there in Nevada. Loves Jesus. And he saw me for years and years, not as perfect, but as the real deal. And I'm just telling you this as a testimony that when you go and when you, like Thomas, say, God, I'm not leaving this place until I see the nail-scarred hands, I see the hole in your, until I see you, really see you, I'm not leaving this spot. Jesus will be faithful. He'll show up. And he'll touch you, and you'll be changed forever. Never, people will look at you and go, I can see God on you. I can see God in you. And God will begin to work and to work in us. His beautiful, once wounded hands tell the story of his love and his care for us. In John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Those same hands which Thomas saw, we now see and believe by faith. I see the hands, whether it's Hollywood's depiction of the hands or not. I see the hands. I'm a visual kind of person, and I can see the hands. I can see Jesus' nail-scarred hands reaching out and touching me and lifting me up when I fall down. I can see his hands when I'm in prayer and in agony over a situation. I can see his hands and sense his hands when they touch me on the back of my shoulder. I can sense his hands. I can feel his touch. We believe it by faith. He reaches out through us and makes it possible for us to repeat his story in other people's lives. Ours are the hands he uses to offer the pat on the back, the hug of comfort. It's us now. Jesus uses us. Our hands are his hands. Our hands reach out and touch people. They serve people. Our hands fold in prayer. We use them to clap, in praise. Our hands are voices of God that speak to people's lives when we reach out and begin to touch other people and serve other people and minister to others. They can see our hand reaching out, and our hand reaching out is the hand of Christ that reaches out. Beautiful are his hands and ours. Psalms 63, verses 3 and 4 says this, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you, thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name. I will lift my hands in your name. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the wounds in your hands, now healed, and the beauty of your grace that is brought into my life. Use my hands to serve others in your name. Jesus, I surrender all to you. I surrender all to you. Amen. Let's stand together. With every head bowed and every eye closed right now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from your relationship with the Lord and you want to make sure that you're in the right place with God, if you'll slip up your hand, we don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. If you'll raise your hand right now, we'll pray with you and minister to you and introduce you to Jesus. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Use us. Let us not forget the gentle touch that you've given each of us in our own lives. And sometimes the firm, aggressive slap on the back of the head to get us moving again. God, we just love your presence in our lives. We love the way that you've talked to us and helped us. And God, we do surrender all to you and give it to you. We just give you praise. We give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.